Okay, good evening, YouTube. Welcome back to this next episode of FPL Family with me, Lee, and this is Sam. And Sam, is the title race back on? Is it on?
You're welcome.
Was it, was it ever off? I don't know. I mean,
we've done all we can. We've beaten them twice this season. Twice.
What was it you said to me after the game at the weekend? You said, you're welcome. If you now win the league, it's because of us. It's all down to Spurs beating Manchester City.
Well done.
I have to hand it to you. That performance from Spurs, I did not call it. Three defeats on the bounce. City looking imperious. You go to the Etihad and you put in a performance like that. It was absolutely bloody brilliant, I have to say. And we'll talk more about the man.
I was a bit tense though.
There he is again. I always do this wrong, right? Here he is, the man of the weekend, Harry Kane.
Wasn't he incredible?
A performance. Absolutely brilliant performance from Harry Kane.
It was one of those, and here's what you could have won, moments.
For Pep, it was. Yeah, I guess it was a little bit because, you know, maybe if we rewind to the summer, maybe they need to go and get Harry rather than Jack Grealish. I don't know. Maybe that was what they needed all along, right? But whatever, that performance from Harry Kane, probably one of the best I've seen in the last 3 years.
For sure.
If you bought him in, whether you wildcard him in, whether you bought him in, fair play, you got a haul, and he was top overall for BPS this week. What a performance. 54 BPS, a full 10 clear. A Veghorst, who we're also going to talk about a bit later on 44. So Kane, absolutely man of the week. What a performance. We'll talk more about Spurs later on. Yeah, we should timestamp this, right? We're in the middle of game week 26. So we're coming at you with, yeah, I think every team, more or less, has played in game week 26.
Yeah.
But we've got, obviously, a big double game week, the biggest double game we've seen so far this season. And probably will see, I think. Probably we'll see. I don't know. There's some pretty big ones coming up, isn't there? But between when we were here last and tonight, big, big news, guys, because we've got double game weeks galore coming out of our ears, haven't we?
Yeah.
Not just next game week, but the one after. So
threw me a bit, to be honest.
So if you've been living under a rock and you're not following Twitter or the rest of it, next game week, game week 27, is not that big a double, is it?
Because it's
you've got Burnley, and who are they playing? I forget.
Leicester.
Is it Burnley and Leicester?
That's the game that's been put in, because Leicester was supposed to be blanking now. Not blanking,
right.
Because now they're playing Burnley. So Burnley, that's their second game of that double. But then, of course, you've also got Arsenal, Chelsea and Liverpool blanking.
Yes, but the fact that Leicester's fixture has come in to play Burnley, Leicester weren't going to have a fixture anyway. So they've only got one.
Yes.
So literally the only team that double is Burnley.
Yes.
So that's all we need to consider for next game week. But from game week 28 and 29 onwards, the doubles look unreal. There's a couple of really juicy looking double game weeks coming up. And it actually saw, or certainly I saw, when they got announced on Friday. And thank goodness we had a Saturday deadline this week, because Friday, it went crazy. It went off on Twitter because everyone, it felt like the world was going to triple captain Salah this week. And still absolutely a viable strategy if you did that. And we'll talk a bit later on about whether Salah triple captainers, of which I was one and you were one, maybe should have had some more points in that Norwich game, but we'll talk about that a bit later on. But a lot of people changed their strategy from triple captain Salah to suddenly, well, I'm going to wildcard and I'm going to set myself up for this 4 or 5 week period now that we've got. And it was a pretty viable strategy, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Saw a lot of people moving away from triple captain Mo over to wildcards and free hit over the next couple of weeks.
Yeah. I mean, my mind blew a little bit on Friday afternoon, and the things I was going to do all week, I suddenly wasn't doing. I was doing different stuff. But I wasn't in a place where I was prepared to kind of go, okay, let's just start everything again.
Yeah.
So, I think for me, strategy still remained. Over the next couple of days, I'll start really honing in on what is my team going to look like for 28, and then what is it going to look like for 29. Team looks right for 27, though, so...
Yeah, well, there's a couple of teams that I think made the difference in terms of that strategy. Arsenal in particular, right? Nice double game week this week. And if you bought Saka in... If you got double Arsenal defence, that was so, so unlucky. So, so unlucky if you bought Arsenal defenders in for them to concede that last-minute goal. When really, it didn't really look... I mean, I only saw the highlights, but it didn't feel like they were under enormous pressure, that Arsenal backline from Brentford. But that last-minute goal meant it cost a lot of players a lot of points. But if you bought in Saka, fair play. If you bought in Lacazette, a couple of assists, so no complaints
no,
there
just
if you bought
one.
Him in. Oh, did he not get the second one?
The
just got one assist.
Party got the other one.
Oh, Party got
the
assist.
It was a Party.
Okay, so one assist then for Lacazette. So, okay, not too bad, right? And they've got another fixture coming up, which is a pretty good one, right?
Oh, well, it's Wolves.
Well, we'll talk about them a bit later on. Suddenly scoring goals, but also conceding the odd goal as well. So, you know, we'll talk about whether Wolves are good to invest in or not going forward. But Arsenal, of course, blanking in 27 And then coming back into 28, the fixtures look good again. So if a lot of people were going, well, our wildcard Arsenal players in for 26.
Yeah.
Free hit in 27 so that I don't have to have them, knowing that they're going to come back in
for
28. Bonkers, isn't it?
Which is fine if you had two free hits, because you're definitely going to want your other free hit. Well, it looks very likely that you're going to want your other free hit for game week 30, unless you're going to have a completely different strategy, which is, well, let's dead end my team into 30 and then wildcard back out of it. So what I think this has done, the announcement of the double game week on Friday, is it has given us so many. I mean, there was a couple of chip strategies in play for game week 26.
Sure.
It was either mostly it was I'm bench boosting, I'm triple captaining.
That was it, yeah. Yeah.
But suddenly the announcement of the doubles threw in that, oh, I'm going to wild card, and then that froze in the conversations to, well, what are you doing next?
Yeah.
Because if you've got two free hits, you're in a nice position now where, you know, you can use one of them in game week 27 to target the teams that really performed well in game week 26. Plus, obviously, then you still have your team that you've probably just wildcarded to get you through to game week 28 and 29. And then you use your other free hit in 30. Or if you're like me, you only have one free hit chip, then you probably want to keep that for 30. It means playing through 27 and working out how you invest for 28 and 29. But I do think what we've seen so far this week is that there's the double has, that some of them have been good, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
But some of them haven't. So it's not the end of the world if you haven't got loads of them, you know?
Yeah, well, the one thing I will say is a lot of the single game weekers, though, that I certainly had in my team. So I've triple captain Salah this week. We'll talk about that later on. So I didn't wildcard. I could see where that strategy was coming from, as you said, particularly if you had two free hits.
Yes.
You wildcard, then you free hit in 27. So you wildcard, load up on Liverpool and Arsenal, get them all out next week on the free hit, and then they come back in the week after. I get it. And also you can start to use that wildcard that you would have played this week to mould your team for 30 if you only had one free hit left and sort of fumble your way through 30 without the free hit. I could certainly see that as a strategy as well. But some of the single game weakers, and that was part of the reason I didn't do that strategy, was I thought, well, I've got, you know, like Sardinia and Ramsey at home to Watford. That looks like a nice fixture. And I had a couple of, who else do I have? I had a couple of West Ham, I think, who, okay, difficult-ish fixture against Newcastle. But I thought, well, home to Newcastle. I don't want to get rid of Bowen. I don't want to get rid of Antonio potentially. So, yeah, I looked at my single game week and I thought, well, they might just see me through and they just haven't done the business. That result, Villa against Watford. Didn't see that coming. It threw me. And also, to a lesser extent, actually, the Spurs result.
Whoa.
I kept Cancelo. I kept Foden thinking that actually City would do the business against you. And they just, well, they got a couple of goals, but it wasn't those guys, right? It was Mahrez and Gundogan, right? So it wasn't my guys that scored either. It was actually the Spurs boys who came to the fore, which if you wildcarded, you probably did get at least one of those two, and you probably did all right. So it's difficult to know whether it's advantage wildcarders or not, actually. It's pretty level, I would say. Depends on how the rest of 26 goes.
I think so far, the disadvantage, though, goes to the bench boosters, because there's so many random things, like Trent being left out altogether, annoying.
Yeah.
Robbo not coming off the bench, very annoying. There was a number of players this weekend who you were kind of expecting to get game time, but Ollie Watkins being left on the bench coming on for a 1-point cameo. Like so many of those.
Rafinha.
I mean, although he did get something when he came off the bench. So, but for a lot of bench boosters who would have bench boosted with maybe Sanchez as their second goalkeeper on a single game week to them lose. Your bench boost is
unless you had Tino Livramento on your bench.
Well, I have Tino Livramento on my bench. I would really, I mean, I was.
He's back on the radar now, isn't he, Tino? I've held on to him for this long as my third son.
I mean, let's not get overexcited, but I think you know he's my. I want Trent to miss out again in midweek, please. Klopp.
Oh, have you got Tino coming on if Trent misses out?
Yeah, but so have you, haven't you?
Well, no, I need Trent and Reguilón.
Well, Reguilón's got COVID.
Yeah, but I think he's had COVID for a bit already, so he's probably going to be back, isn't he?
He's got to get two negative tests. I mean, that's not that easy. Plus, we're also in a storm. He probably can't get any tests.
Yeah, well, there is
tests
that.
Tests are all
there
just blowing that. Around in the
well,
UK.
Well, the other thing is that Klopp's comments were, I think there was a bit of rumour about Trent having COVID as well, but Klopp's comments after the game were, you should not say that.
But I did want him out for the next game as well now, with Livramento's 12 on the bench.
Well, apparently Klopp's comments were, we've rested Trent, right? Rested Trent, rather than he had COVID. Can you rest him again? Right, so I doubt he's going to get rested again because he'll want to keep that rhythm, I think, going into the Carling Cup final.
He's not going to get
the Carabao
12,
Cup final, I should say. But he's probably not going to get the 12 that Tino's going to get you, potentially. Let's see. Let's say hello to a few people,
Stella
Sam.
Stella played Luca Dean.
We've got... I know, Luca... Lads, Luca Dean. What a troll. I mean, God,
but
didn't
we?
I missed the hole and then he's trolled me
but
bad.
We said this,
trolled
didn't we?
Big time.
We did say it. We said
to
each other...
I know, but we still did it.
I know, we said to each other, are we going down a rabbit hole? And we said probably yes.
But
and yet
still
we've
doing
still
it anyway.
Done it.
When that Dennis goal went in, that was the worst. Because not only
killer.
Did I not have Dennis, but I had Ramsey
well,
and Dean.
I've still got Josh King as well. He's going this week, by the way. Spoiler alert.
Well.
No, I'm done with him.
I'm not sure.
I'm done with him.
I thought that Watford front line looked a lot better with Sarr.
I am done with
Josh
King.
I thought Sarr made all the difference for King and for Dennis.
No, I'm
King
done.
Missed a gilt-edged chance.
I'm done with him. The amount of chances he's missed, he can go.
Right. That's it. Sam has spoken, guys. Paul Cook is in. How are we doing? He says, King, Kane and Son. God, they were good. They were good then, boys. They really are on the same wavelength.
Weren't they so happy and smiley at each other at the end of the game? Didn't you love it?
Well, they were.
The most successful Premier League duo ever.
Yeah, the only thing...
No, right. Stop.
Can I just say one thing?
No.
I've got to say one thing.
Why? If you're going to say something negative, don't.
It's not negative, it's just a comment, right? And it's a comment that I heard from a Spurs fan on TalkSport, by the way. And the comment was, wonderful. Kane and Son, amazing. Kane, fantastic game. Best he's played in ages. Where's that been all season? Because in the previous three games, you've lost to some fairly average opposition. And then all of a sudden, he turns up at City, the club that was supposed to buy him, and he has a worldie.
I nearly swore then.
What?
I absolutely nearly swore at you then. That's absolute nonsense. And that's come from a Spurs fan who clearly has not watched any games lately.
Right.
Because Harry Kane, as you learnt from the underlying stats that you reel off for the every other week.
I did actually, that's
has
true.
Has been
that's true.
Phenomenal. It's just that the rest of the
phenomenal.
Team...
He's been good.
Shut up. The rest of the team has been dog awful. And the problem is that when you've got Son and Kane doing well, but your defenders are woeful, you can't get the ball out of defence. So that Spurs fan needs to take a look at themselves in the mirror... Probably an Arsenal fan.
I'll be honest, because we were driving at the time the teams, or you were driving at the time the teams were announced for Spurs Man City, and I said, do you want to know who's up front? You had no. Is Dyer playing? Is Dyer playing? And I was like, what do you mean
that?
Is Dyer playing? I said, if Dyer plays, we'll be all right. If he's not, we're screwed.
And then I went, and is Højbjerg playing? And you went, yeah. And I was like, we're all right.
We've got half a chance.
We're in the game.
Yeah,
we're in the game.
Absolutely.
They're playing, we're in the game.
And as John Tyno is saying, hey John, good evening, mate. He says, at FPL Family, what about Kulusevski as well, Sam? Not bad, eh? Not
I'm
bad.
I'm liking
Kulu.
Yeah,
impressed.
I'm liking him. I said to you, didn't I, halfway through the game, what I really like about him is, sounds stupid thing to say, really, but I like his height. Because obviously, I'm used to... No, but it does sound silly.
Tune
but...
in for more great stats next week.
But what I like about him is that Lucas Moura, I'm used to seeing in that position, is obviously little and he's tricky. But what Kulu's got about him, he's got presence about him and he can hold the ball up. And he's got... I mean, he should have been onside for that offside goal, definitely. He should have read that line better. But I was impressed. I thought for a start against Manchester City... I thought he was really
when you look at when I look at him, I think he's going to be so slow.
No, but he
but
isn't.
But he's not lightning quick, but he's not a slouch, is he?
He's slower
he's
than
fine.
Lucas Moura.
No, he's fine. He's
goal and an assist, yes, Kulu.
He's all right, he's all right. Amid, oh goodness me, Amid Ared. Hope I've said that correctly, Amid Ared. Apologies
done.
If I haven't. He said Luis Diaz as well, going to be huge. Yes, look very good. Talking of new men. Looked very good for us at the
weekend.
Still
a bit disappointed that we didn't
More on him a bit later on because he looked great. Looked really, really good. The Spectre is in. Moha Moggy is in. Trust me, Lee, it was an audition yesterday, that Spurs game. So Moha absolutely looking
Behave.
At Kane and Son for his FPL team, I suggest. And maybe even Kulusevski, who knows. Bernardo Santos is absolutely loving your I like his height comment.
No, but I do like his height. I do think he'll be all right, actually, you know.
And he also says, pretty cheap, only 6 million as well.
There you are. You see, you want him in your teams, don't you? Because he's tall.
There we go. Carl Watson, good evening, mate. He says, I'll eat, guys, I'll eat. What a cracking weekend of football with that. It was good. It was good. I very much enjoyed it.
I must admit, though, I didn't enjoy that Spurs game. I did not enjoy watching it. I was an absolute bundle of nerves. But what I really did enjoy was watching it back on Match of the Day. When I sat and watched it back in a calm mode, I was like, this is a great game. This was a great game of football.
It was a really, really good match. And also, even the Man U match today, the conditions were shocking.
Awful,
the defending on both sides was abject. It was a bonkers game. So I agree, it was a good game. Good weekend of football.
It's been a good weekend, yeah.
Really, really good. John L, good evening, Johnny, saying I love Sam on FPL, saying Kulu just because she can't pronounce his full name. I absolutely love
him. That's what he's called. He's called Kulu and Bentacore's called Lulu.
What? Bentacore's called Lulu?
That's his nickname.
No, it's not.
Oh, why?
Have you also got Coco still?
No, he's got...
Coco, Lulu and Kulu?
No.
Oh, you lot need to get a grip, don't you?
No, shut up. In his interview, welcome interview to the club, they asked him, have you got a nickname? And he said, yes, my nickname's Lulu.
Get out of here.
Kulu and Lulu.
Get out of
here. Right, find you the video at the end of this game. At the end of this game, at the end of this stream, and I'll show it to you, where he says his name's Lulu.
FPL Harry is in. How are we doing, mate? Very nice to see you. He's got lucky at the weekend, didn't they? Ooh.
The big question is,
minute, wherever it was.
Will they get lucky next Sunday afternoon?
Goodness me. Where are they playing next Sunday afternoon? Your lot?
You're not in the cup final, you monkey!
Oh, it is the cup final. Of course it is. Yeah, cup final next weekend.
Good goodness.
Well, listen, they squeaked past Crystal Palace. Squeaked past them at the weekend. Who else have we got? Amir is in. How are we doing, Amir? We've got Paul Cook. We've got Susan Boyle, who, by the way, is not the Susan Boyle.
Oh, yeah, we better explain this.
That is our good friend Cyberdebt from the Patreon community, who...
You've
got a bit of a bone to pick with Simon, haven't you?
No. So on, I don't know what day it was now, Simon, I remember, Thursday, something like that.
Did we get a bit of hashtag Slack banter here?
I got a little bit, I don't know, anti-Spurs, and I just couldn't... have it, because I didn't think we'd win, by the way, to be clear. That was the outstanding thing.
The slack does get a bit unnecessarily anti-Spurs sometimes,
but
also
he was adamant they wouldn't score, and I was absolutely adamant they wouldn't. He said, did I want to bet? And I don't bet, but he said, all right, Sam, I'll take a bet with you that you don't
take
have
bets
to...
with Sam side. This is a
and he said, yeah, you should know.
I should know.
And he said, I don't think Spurs will score. I said, they will. He said, if they do, I'll change my name to Susan Boyle. So within 6 minutes of the game kicking off, I added him in the Slack. I was where's Susan then?
Absolute throat loop.
To be fair, he's changed his name to Susan Boyle on everything.
He's done it on YouTube and
everything.
He's in the live chat right now as Susan Boyle, and the picture is Susan Boyle. He's
got so much time for it.
To be fair, he said he's going to do it, and he's not done it half-heartedly. He has gone all in.
But what is hilarious is when you're in the Slack and you're typing something, and all of a sudden at the top it says, Susan Boyle is typing.
Oh, God, such a muppet, isn't he? Oh, unbelievable. Andrew Yee, another one of our Patreon followers. Hey, Andrew, how are we doing, mate? And we've got Danny McDonald in as well. How are we doing? A whole host of you guys in this evening. So thank you very much to the 364 people we've got in already, guys. Thank you to everyone that is already a subscriber. Although I noticed on our analytics the other day that only about 60 to 65% of people watching this live stream are subscribed to the channel. Did you know
why?
Well, I don't know. It's just that button. It's right there.
Hit it.
It's right there. Just press the button. Why not?
Just,
why not? And right next to that, there's a little thumbs up, just a like button.
Just pretend it takes
half a second.
Pretend it's the goal, like Harry Kane did yesterday.
Just if you like the Sam's tip about Kulusevski getting him in because he's tall.
I didn't say to get him in because he's tall. I said that's why I like him in the Spurs.
If you want other top FPL tips like that, guys, hit that like button.
Excuse me. I think you'll find the guys in the Slack will back me up on this. I sent them some cracking data this week about why they should buy Sun. Some of them paid attention. Some of them didn't. Susan, I'm looking at you.
Susan
didn't. But some of them did. And they quite enjoyed adding me to say thank you for the Sun tip. And I must admit, I enjoyed myself. I brought in Sun this week. It was fun.
Right, come on, Sam. We've got to get on with these games. Otherwise,
Should we start with Spurs?
We'll be here talking about Susan Boyle and subscribing all night. We've talked about Spurs a little bit already. We'll come back. No, we will come back to Spurs. I've got to get on the right screen, though. Hold on. Here we go.
What are you doing,
screen. I'm all over the shop. I'd rather talk about my team. Let's not talk about your team. Talk about my team. Liverpool 3, Norwich 1. Mane with the overhead kick. Salah with a very well-taken goal from an Alisson assist. How good was that? Not the first time that's happened, by the way. And Luis Diaz getting off the mark with his first goal for Liverpool as well. And it didn't all go to plan for Liverpool.
You were very upset.
I was very upset. It did put me in the mood. We were out at the time having a very nice day out with some friends. We took the kids bowling. Because it wasn't on TV, so I thought, right, I'll get it on SofaScore, get it on my phone. When Norwich went 1-0 up, I have to tell you, my mood changed instantly. I was in such a good mood, and I went into a grump immediately.
And I saw it pick up on my phone, and I thought, shall I even tell him?
Oh, dear me. But anyway.
I was in a bad mood.
Salah got the goal eventually. So for triple captainers like me, like you, how did you feel about the 10 points he's got so far? Of course, he's got Leeds to go still in this double game week. But if I told you, Sam, that top for shots this game week, according to the Fantasy Football Scout members area, and if you're not a member at Fantasy Football Scout, as usual, you can click on the links in the description below and go join up as a member over on FF Scout. Brilliant, brilliant site. We use the data on these live streams, on Twitter, whenever we get the FPL show. Most of the data, most of the insight and analytics comes from that website. So go check it out, guys. And if I told you, Sam, that Salah was top for shots this game week with 8, and he was top also in the game week for chances created with 6, easily deserved the 3 bonus points. But should he have had more than the 10 points that he got? Was he a bit unlucky not to have more?
Well, maybe, but, you know.
I'm not complaining with the 10, don't get me wrong, but probably should have had more in that game. One off the line, I think he had.
Yeah, he did have one off the line. I don't know. I mean, time stood still when he actually scored the goal he got. Because we were listening to it on the radio, and the commentator was just like, Salah? Salah? Yeah. Salah? What was he doing?
Immediately put it in, didn't
he? What was he doing? Yeah, so maybe he was a bit unlucky, but I think, to be honest, when I've captained somebody, any return feels like a bit of a win.
Yeah.
So I don't feel too bad about the fact that he hasn't returned like 100 points so far.
And the other thing to say is that Leeds, as they demonstrated today, are leaky as hell. I saw a stat on Twitter just as I was coming on that suggested they've conceded 30 goals in their last 10 games. Now, I haven't looked at that to verify that. You guys can tell me in the live chat if that's right or not. But averaging 3 goals conceded in the last 10 league games. Mental.
Yeah.
And if they defend like they did against United today, don't get me wrong, United played well. We'll talk about them in a bit. But they didn't have to play that well, Man United, to score their goals today.
Mm-hmm.
And if Leeds play like that against Liverpool, I'm touching wood. I don't want to tempt fate. Obviously, it's my team. I'd be prepared to be, you know, slated for this if this doesn't happen. But you'd like to think that Salah and co are going to put them to the sword a little bit in midweek. So let's see. 10 points is a nice base. Are you expecting a bit more? I am.
Will he better?
Hoping so. Yeah, hoping so.
I mean, he's going to get at least 4. Well, 2.
Well, let's
6.
See. Let's see. Let's see. Let's hope so. But the goals are being spread around at Liverpool right now. It's good that we're managing to manage this team and manage the minutes of some of the players. Thiago Alcantara, by the way, guys. I was... His first little period when he came into the Premier League, I didn't think he was quite up to the Premier League pace. And whenever I saw him in the Champions League, he was brilliant. And then in the Premier League, he just needed that extra second longer and he wasn't getting it. He is different. Right? He is unbelievable at the minute. Thiago Alcantara has got up to the pace of the Premier League. The guy is an unbelievable player, guys. Let me tell you, I'm so pleased he's ours.
No cooler.
It's no Kulusevski.
He's not
you're right.
Height.
He's not got the height. You know what I mean? but he is pinging balls left, right and centre. And when he came on for another one of my favourites, Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain, by the way, bringing off the Ox and bringing on Thiago is like replacing, you know, dust with gold. It's unbelievable. So that's a terrible analogy. I don't know where that come from. But you know what I mean? Ox was guff and Thiago's just world class.
Oxlade-Chamberlain dust.
I can if I want to. It's my team, so it's all right. So with Thiago pulling the strings, look, what am I going to say here? A lot of us got to think about who the third Liverpool player might be. If you've not got 3 Liverpool...
No, you don't have to think about this. They're blanking in 27.
That's true. That's
why
true.
Why are we
okay.
even talking about Liverpool? They don't play.
I'm just happy that my team won. I want to talk
Move
about
on.
It. Move on. I will. I didn't think of that. Yeah, they were not playing next game. We
just let you have a moment just to talk about Salah. But now, let's move on.
All right, let's move on. Can you just tell me whether Luis Diaz is going to be a good player or not? Quality, any? Looks good,
I don't want to talk about him. He's a traitor. He was supposed to be coming to us. He's gone to you.
If he'd gone to Spurs, would he get in that team ahead of Son?
Oh, shush.
I'm just saying.
Shush.
I'm just saying. Because a lot of Spurs fans and the management probably went, well, Luis Diaz, you've got to, you know, you're going to play second fiddle to Son a lot of the time.
Of course he's going to play second fiddle to Son.
Now he's going up to Anfield instead and he's like, right, you might be playing second fiddle to Mane for a little
Nobody's
while, but.
Playing second fiddle to Mane.
Wow.
Mane's gone, I'm afraid.
Mane's not gone. He's got a bicycle kick at the weekend,
in
woman.
In the summer, he's gone,
oh,
I'm afraid.
Oh, jeez, all right, whatever.
I bet you he leaves.
We are going to move on from Liverpool because, as you rightly say...
can't take the bet. It could have said something else.
Because you rightly say, we haven't got a fixture. I just thought I'd want to talk about Liverpool because we had a good result. Let's talk about Arsenal.
No, we might as well talk about Burnley first.
Go on then, Burnley.
Because they're actually the ones that have got a double.
Let's talk about them because all of a sudden, Sam, Burnley score goals. What's going on?
And is they it upgraded just, Chris Wood, that's what's going on.
Is it just the big horse wagon? Is it literally he's that good that he's come in and they suddenly score goals?
Yeah, I mean, this is the one thing that's kind of... I'm a bit annoyed at myself. Am I annoyed at myself? I don't think I am, really. The announcement on Friday meant I didn't go Weghorst. I decided to go Jimenez because I fancied Wolves more than I did Burnley. I just didn't see Burnley scoring loads of goals. Burnley went and put three past Brighton, which...
But, and Brighton, look, not exactly a good defence, right?
No, I didn't see it. And I just thought, you know, Burnley's double on paper looks all right. Burnley and Spurs have got a leaky defence. Brighton, who are quite good defensively, and then Spurs, we've got a leaky defence. So I kind of could see him getting something, but I didn't see a three-goal mauling for Burnley.
That is a quite incredible result when you're looking at it in the cold light of day.
Absolutely.
One of the Premier League, you know, arguably one of the league's best defences outside, you know, the top.
Outside the top clubs, for sure.
Against Burnley, who can't score for love nor money for most of the season. No. And it's 3-0 at some
point. But should have seen it come in when Dunk got sent off last Monday. Dan Burn.
Interesting, yes.
And without Lewis Dunk.
Yes.
You're down to the bare bones at Brighton in terms of that centre pairing.
Yeah.
So is it actually, when you look back on it, in the same way that I was about Eric Dyer?
Yeah.
Should I have realised that?
Well, it was one of those, I must admit, and you know, throughout all of last week, that forward spot, I was between Lacazette, Weghorst and Firmino, really. I was going to get Jimenez, because of, I think, his upcoming fixtures and the schedule looks really good for him. And he's starting to show a bit of form now, right? An assist today as well.
The double got announced.
I was like, well, his double in particular in a couple of weeks' time, Wolves, looks really good, doesn't it? A couple of really nice home games. So I was between those three. And then I thought, well, Firmino and Lacazette, as much as I like them for this double game week, and their fixtures are unreal. And by the way, I'm glad I didn't go Firmino in the end, given he's got a bit of a knock. I thought, well, I'm just giving myself a problem for next week. It just seems crazy not to have Weghorst. But even so, I was still a bit split between the three. But it was the Lewis Dunk thing that in my head, I was like, that just tipped me over the edge. I was 95% of the way there. And I went, right, no Lewis Dunk. Could he do something? Well, he could against the makeshift looking back line for Brighton. I didn't expect a goal on the assist.
No.
Now the thing for me is I've got Weghorst in this week, very happy with that.
I've got double next week.
And I hope he's got more to come in this second game.
I don't.
In
it's this game Spurs. Week.
I obviously hope that he does do well against Spurs.
I hope he gets a rest.
I don't think he's going to, based on what I've seen so far. And then he's got the double again next week. And of course, he's going to be in. If you're playing the free hit next week, he's undoubtedly going to be in there. I'm pretty sure about that. And then he's going to be a bit of a bandwagon going forward. So I'm taking these points he's got as real differential points. And if he gets anything against Spurs, that's real differential points for me. Because going forward, I think he's going to be in a lot of teams as of next week.
Yeah, I mean, he's not necessarily a player that I'm thinking, oh, I'm going to get, because he will be my transfer in next week for Josh King, spoiler alert. But I just think that for me, for the double next week, it makes a lot of sense. It gives me an extra Burnley player. Again, Tarkowski was another one, wasn't he? Missed out in this game.
Yes,
so if you were bench boosting and you went Tarkowski, that's just unfortunate. I think, you know, he's a good player. He is an upgrade. I believe he is an upgrade on Chris Wood. His reading of the game, his positioning, the way that he's fitted into the Premier League, has been absolutely quality. You know, he's not come from he's come from the Bundesliga, right? He's not come from an awful league by any stretch of the imagination. But
so many players come and struggle, don't they?
They do. They struggle with the pace of the Premier League, and particularly,
it's only three games in. I mean, how much do we really know? Particularly
in a Burnley side that aren't exactly blessed with loads of pace, and you know, I wouldn't have expected him necessarily to go and do what he has. Now, granted, it's only a goal and two assists so far, but in four games, that's not bad. And there could have been and probably should have been additional returns in that period as well. He should have scored against Liverpool last week, is the reality of the matter. So I like him. I think he's a talent. I do.
He's also tall, so you're going to like him.
I mean, that is key for me. They've got to have some height about them.
Your FPL front three, Kulusevski, Weghorst and Crouch. Get him in.
I do love Peter Crouch.
What else to say about Burnley? Who else would you have from Burnley if you were going to free hit next week? Would you go Pope, for example, in goal?
If you're free hitting next week?
Yeah, okay. All
right. Yeah, absolutely, I'd go Pope.
Okay. Any concern on the Brighton defence? Are they rubbish all of a sudden? No,
Dunk will be back for their next game. Okay. I won't worry too much about it. But, I mean, they are going to miss Dan Burn, and they have weakened their defence by letting him go. But I don't think it's the end of the world. And as a second keeper in Foster, in Sanchez, I think it's fine. Okay. But if Foster continues to be all right, if the Watford defence continues to improve, then moving Sanchez to Foster on a wild card also makes a lot of sense because you're going to save a little bit.
Okay. All right. Let's talk about the main game then. Spurs versus Man City at the Etihad on Saturday evening. Well, I'll just hand the mic over to you. What did you think?
It's the best night of my life.
Yeah. Oh, good. And that says a lot about me, doesn't it? Come on.
No, I only said it to get a reaction out of you. It was an excellent game of football. Mm. Man City probably didn't deserve to lose the game, but equally, I think we did deserve to win the game. You know, I think it would have been, if it had been a draw, it probably would have been fine.
He sat in, he played pretty deep, to be honest with you.
It was all about
the counter-attack with the two.
But a tactic we couldn't have played, was it not for the man, the myth, the blimmin' legend that is Eric Dier? What has happened to us that Eric Dier is so important to the way that Conte's team plays football? And without him, we are a mess. And, you know, I take on board everything that everybody said about, you know, what about the last three games? Well, I'll tell you about the last three games. Eric Blimmin' Dier wasn't there.
Yeah.
And honestly, I know that people think I'm being ridiculous, but it is honestly the case that without him, defensively, we look weaker. We miss the leadership at the back. And the way that we play with the counter-attacking football means that we need that solidity at the back to play out quickly and through Kane. And that's what we were seeing. As soon as Kane got the ball, the passes were always on to whether it be to Son or to Kulu on the other side. Like, it was... Yeah, I was impressed.
I feel like Kane has... I wouldn't say learned, because he's always been pretty good at it, but he's sort of... In that game in particular, and by the way, I'm not, you know, he has been pretty good lately, Kane, but, you know, if you think back over the last year and a bit, he's been pretty average compared to his standards, right? But he has been good lately, and you're right, what you said at the beginning of the show, the underlying stats in the last few weeks were suggesting an explosion was coming. I don't think many of us thought it was going to be Man City, but here we are. And I sort of feel like he might have learned when to come deep and when not.
Well, yeah.
Because he's not always deep against Man City. He was there and making those runs in behind, like on the second goal, right?
Well, Conte said when he first came to the club, in fact, before he even came to the club last summer, he said, if I had a player like Harry Kane, I'd put him in the box. But I think in being around Kane and in training alongside him, even Conte has learned that there are moments where actually our attacking football works really well when Kane isn't in the box. And when he drops, because you're almost guaranteed an assist out of him the way that he drops in, because the balls he puts into, especially Son, but to anybody that's up there, are phenomenally good. So I think...
The ball he played round the corner for Son to make the run to get the assist for Kulusevski was unreal.
Yeah,
it was unreal. Just first time ball, just instinctively knew where Son was. And Son had already gone... knowing that Harry's going to play that ball. The two of them were unreal.
And it was the same with the second goal, the Kane goal. Son just puts the ball in and Kane makes the run because he knows...
Son will find him. Yeah, yeah.
And that, from an FPL perspective, is why they are really attractive options now. Because, as I've been saying already, the underlying stats for both of them have been there. And the eye test for them two has been being passed, even when Spurs have looked awful. Like, when I went to Tottenham... for the Southampton game, good grief, we were terrible defensively.
Mm.
But whenever the ball did get to Kane, we looked all right.
Yeah.
Going forward, we were looking all right. So I think now is actually a decent moment. Now, the problem that some managers are going to have is if you've just played your wild card and you haven't bought in one of Son or Kane, it could be a tricky process now trying to get them. Because for the majority of those managers that have wildcarded, you probably got a front three that looks something like Weghorst, Jimenez, Dennis.
To have
played the double,
knowing
that you can move them down. But you probably haven't left 6 million in the bank to go up to Kane.
No, because you've spent it on Salah.
And you spent it on De Bruyne, maybe. You may have gone for Son, and if you have, then great. But if you haven't, if you've spent that budget on... two Liverpool midfielders, or you've got the budget, like you say, in a Man City midfielder, then it could be a challenge to do. But I look at Spurs right now, and the energy was different. The key players are back from injury. That will help. going into 27, obviously it's Burnley next in the second half of this game week, but going into game week 27 at a point where Arsenal and Chelsea and Liverpool don't play, there's going to be captaincy decisions to be made. Now, yes, you can go Weghorst for the double game week, but he's probably the only Burnley player you could triple captain in the double game week.
Let's just have a quick look at Spurs fixtures going forward then. And I appreciate this is a bit getting a bit of an eye chart, guys, but here is the fixture difficulty rating as defined by Fantasy Football Scout. And by the way, if you disagree with any of the fixture difficulty ratings on here, this is what the Scout experts say are good fixtures versus bad fixtures, a good being a bold blue and a bad fixture being a bold red. But if you disagree with that, you can change guys, and you can make your own
FDR. You can delete game weeks as well. If you know you're going to free hit in 1 week, you can delete it.
Sure, you can mix and match it how you want, right? But if I look specifically at this, it's Spurs, so I've got Leeds coming up next, who, as we mentioned before, leaking like you wouldn't believe, with conceding about 3 goals on average a game, with Liverpool up next, so I certainly hope that's not going to, you know, that's not going to change. Then it's Everton at home for Spurs. Everton, you know,
up and down.
A couple of good results, but on the whole, struggling a little bit under Frank Lampard. Manchester United away for Spurs. West Ham at home. Newcastle at home. And by the way, that Manchester United game coupled with Brighton away as well. So a couple of tricky looking away games, but nevertheless still a double in 29. How are we feeling about Kane and Son, or is that overkill, do you think? Should you pick one or have two?
It's likely to be overkill simply because of the budget situation, because you're unlikely to be able to afford Son and Kane and Salah, and if you want a Man City, or if you want to keep, I don't know, because the other thing is that we're not talking about Chelsea at the moment, and of course we're still not talking about Chelsea because they're blank again next week.
But we will soon.
But
you're
from 28, Chelsea start to look like really nice options again. Now, you're probably not going Lukaku, but maybe you want to go for a Mount when fit again, or a Ziyech, or maybe you want to go back in on the Chelsea defence.
Alonso did Hall this
weekend. Maybe you want to go back on the Chelsea defence again. Now, if you want to do all of those things, that probably means you can't go Son and Kane, so you're probably going to have to make some decisions.
Yeah.
Now, I went Son last week on the basis that he had a great record against both Man City and Burnley, but also on the basis that it was easier. It was easier to get him in midfield, knowing that if it went horribly wrong, there wasn't so much money tied up. There were some straightforward swaps across. I could target other decent teams with double game weeks coming up. Whereas I felt with Kane, it would be then coming straight back down again. Now, I don't mind the coming back down again, but I just felt...
What would you do if you had neither right now and you had to choose one? Where would you go?
Oh, that's tough.
Difficult, isn't it?
Because I think they'll both do really well over the next few weeks, and that's why it's tough, because the reality of the situation at Spurs is, if one of them's doing well, the other one is doing well too, because they're fundamentally connected with each other. I think I'd still do what I did and go Son, because he's cheaper. He enables you to own the other players that you're going to want to own. There are a number, as we're seeing at the moment in Jimenez and Weghorst, of those cheaper, and Broyer if you want to put him in there too, although he didn't do anything this weekend. But there are a number of those cheaper forwards that are also performing. So you can use that money to upgrade elsewhere. And I think the couple of million saving that you have from going Son over Kane across the rest of your squad is worth it. If you're just going to leave the money in the bank, I'd go Kane.
Yeah, well, I'm in that situation right now. I don't have Son or Kane. I have to say, maybe a bit of recency bias here, but I'm leaning slightly towards the front man. I'm slightly leaning towards Harry Kane. I do agree with you. I think the way that Eric Dier brings that ball out from the back, and by the way, low-key, Bentancur is having a really good start to his Spurs career. I think he's knitting it together quite nicely. But that period of the pitch there between Eric Dier and Harry Kane, that sort of Bentancur and Højbjerg is working right now, and I think Harry's seeing a lot more of the ball, so I can see him being more creative like he was a couple of seasons ago. But like I said before, he's also, I think Conte's telling him to be more in the box, as you suggested, but he's learning when to go and when to come. So what does that actually mean? That means he's going to be more creative dropping deep, but also being in the box, and he's on penalties. I just think with that Leeds game coming up, if you're free hitting in 27, I think you have them both. I don't think that's even a question.
Yeah, definitely have them both.
And you maybe even, if you wanted to go for a punt on Kulusevski or something like that, you could do.
Because he's tall.
because he's tall. But for me, I'm pretty sure I'm going to be bringing in one of them ahead of next game.
You're going to go Kane because
that's just how I do them. Well, I could right
can
now.
Can you even go Josh King to Harry Kane?
I can't do Josh King to Harry Kane. No, I'd need to take some money out of midfield. But I can do Phil Foden to Son. Now, you might think that this is a bit of a knee-jerk reaction on Phil Foden, and this is a nice segue into Manchester City. But I have to tell you, this video that's come out, have you seen this video that's on Twitter and social media right now? If you haven't seen it, guys, go. You can find it, right? It's easy. But there's a video of him getting in trouble in a nightclub, or I think it's
at the AO Arena.
I think it's at the boxing. There was a boxing match last night. I'm not into boxing at all, really. But I think it was Amir Khan and Kell Brook, wasn't it? So those guys were fighting in Manchester last night. There's a video of Phil Foden getting into a scuffle, right? Now, why is that important in FPL, you say? You might say that's not important at all. That's the sort of thing that Pep picks up on, isn't it? That's the sort of thing that Pep will either take Foden out of the limelight for a week or so, or he might say altogether, well, look, you can't be doing that. He's shown this season that he'll do that with him and Grealish. When him and Grealish went on a bender last time, he took them both out of the team.
Yeah.
So what is... I can't help but feel like Foden in the team at the minute is kind of like more trouble than he's worth. He's already a rotation risk just because he's a Man City midfielder.
Yeah.
So with this as well going on, I mean, if he just focused on his bloody football, he'd be so good. So...
Well, to be fair, I don't think it's his fault. Like, watching the video, he's not... He's being...
Let's not comment on the video, but he's in that situation.
Yeah, he does get in
and it's caught on video.
Yeah.
Right? So regardless of whether you think it's right or wrong or whatever, he's in that situation and he shouldn't be as a footballer, right? So he is, he's caught. Man City are now looking at it. The club have come out and said, we're looking into this and we're investigating it. How can Pep not punish him? He's going to.
Well,
so I look ahead to the next fixture and I say, well, is Foden even going to play? Now, I'm probably not going to free hit in 47.
47? How long's this season going on
it
for?
It feels like we're on game week 47. I'm probably not going to free hit in 27 because I've only got one left.
Yeah.
And I'm already two down because of Trent and Salah. I can't afford for bad boy Foden to be disciplined.
You know what? You won't ever get.
I just want rid of him. I just think he's more trouble than he's worth.
You never get any trouble with Son. He'll never be in trouble. He'll always be smiley. He'll turn up and he'll give you the little thumbs up.
So listen, we'll talk about my potential transfers later on, but it does involve getting rid of Foden. It does involve getting one of the Spurs boys. We'll talk about that a bit later on. I guess you're pretty pleased that Bernardo Silva left your team, although he did pick up an assist this week.
Oh, yeah, but... He did get an assist, but equally... I mean, he just hit the ball at Romero and Romero handballed it, so it's not like it's not like it was an actual assist. It was an assist, of course it is, but it's not an actual assist. I don't miss him.
No.
I got Son instead.
No. Okay,
it's fine. I felt like the time had come, probably a couple of weeks ago actually, to move on Bernardo Silva, but I didn't really know where to go at that point. And with no doubles coming up, and with doubles coming up for plenty of other teams now across, obviously the game week we're in, plus 27, plus 28, plus 29.
It felt
like the right time to lose Bernardo Silva.
Okay. All right, a few people in the live chat saying that I need to look into the Foden thing a bit more. He was provoked.
He was goaded.
Maybe it's not his fault and he shouldn't be punished. Okay, I will absolutely do that. But one thing is for sure, one of the facts that we know is that Pep...
He doesn't like it.
He doesn't like that sort of stuff, right?
No.
And he will take action if required, right? If required. So... Either way, even if that had not been a thing, I'm still not buzzing about having Foden in my team right now. I don't think he's performing in FPL on a regular basis, whereas Son and Kane look as if they're about to hit a bit of a purple patch, got a double coming up.
Yeah, the
and
lack of a double.
That Leeds fixture looks so good, that Leeds fixture, I have to say.
Who's City got next week?
Let's have a look at the City fixtures then, just while you've asked the question. Here we go.
What are we doing with...
It's Everton away, so it is a good fixture for Manchester City. Then it's the Manchester derby. Then Palace, then Brighton, then Burnley. So listen, it's not an immediate and easy sell, Man City players right now, because the fixtures are all right. Now, they don't have any doubles, so that is something to consider, but it's not as if they've got a horrendous run of fixtures coming up. It would be a fairly reluctant sell for me on Foden. But he'd have to be... someone's got to make way for Son if I go that way, or for Kane, because that's where I'm going to get the money from, I think.
And that's why Bernardo Silva was the make way for me.
Yeah, all right. All right, let's talk about... let's go back here for a second. I don't want to go through all of these games, Sam, because we've got tons of games to go through. Anything else? Any other big FPL talking points that you want to discuss from here? I mean, we should probably just have a quick chat about Wolves just before we go on, because if I go back to the fixtures, Wolves, who are pushing for Champions League, by the way, at the minute, unbelievably, playing so well.
Last time they got European football, it all went horribly wrong. So let's hope that they learnt from that, because they are playing incredibly well this season so far. Bruno Lage has made such a difference to them.
No doubt about it. And we know, you know, the rhetoric so far this season has been how defensively solid they've been. But actually, last couple of games, they've started banging a few in. So it's West Ham away for them next in 27. So not the easiest fixture in the world. But look at that
they
double.
They concede.
Look at that double. Crystal Palace and Watford at home, followed by then Everton and Leeds and Villa. Three teams that are, you know, hit and miss, to say the least, at the moment. So Wolves look absolutely investable, don't they, at the moment?
Which is why I went Jimenez this week.
Yeah.
Because I think they absolutely do. I think the double's nice. I think the West Ham game is nice as well. You know, West Ham, on their day, they can score goals. That isn't questionable. But the defence is a bit questionable. They're not keeping clean sheets regularly. They are conceding goals.
They have been over the course of the season.
They have been,
It took a very, very good Leicester team goal for them to break that back line today.
No, I'm talking about West Ham.
Oh, sorry, West Ham.
So West Ham, they've been conceding goals. You know, they're not keeping clean sheets. So for Wolves to go to West Ham, on paper, that doesn't sound like the best fixture in the world for Jimenez. But actually, I wouldn't put it past them to score against them. They are building well. And maybe it's a similar situation to what I was saying about Spurs, you know. The way that they play football, they need a solid defence at the back, and they have created that. Bruno Lage has created a nice defensive, solid unit where they attack well from the back. And in doing that, Wolves have become a really, really nice team, not only to watch play football, but a team that you can kind of rely on in an FPL perspective as well. Now, disappointing if you own a Wolves defender this week so far to have lost the clean sheet today. But there were opportunities for those defenders to have got attacking returns as well. Ain't Nouri had one look absolutely careered off the post. And I was like, off! That could have been an absolutely worldy of a goal. So I think, you know, if you are a Connor Cody owner, he's the most heavily owned of the Wolves defenders. Don't panic on it. I think there's plenty of clean sheets available in those games that they've got coming up. And if you aren't invested in Wolves at all, now seems to be a good moment to do it. All right, it's not the best fixture in the world next week against West Ham, but they play.
That double's so good, though, isn't it?
They play, and then they have a really nice double. And coming out of the double, it's not an immediate sell. You can hold them for a fair few weeks.
Okay, very good. And Leicester, for their part, in trouble? Brodge? Is he in trouble? Need to start getting results.
Well, part of the problem is that they've got so many, and I don't want to give them excuses, but they've got so many injuries to key players. I mean, they were Maddison and Harvey Barnes both who I know Maddison came on, but Vardy's been out for what feels like forever. They haven't really got. I don't know. Everything's kind of gone a bit horribly wrong, and I think he's in trouble.
I think
bottom half of the
table
now.
Notice in his post-match interview, he was quite keen to give a Vardy update. Did you notice that?
What did he say?
Well, I'd be back in, I think, 7 to 10 days or something like that. But
right.
What does that tell me? That tells me that
he's desperate.
He knows he needs his main man back. And despite, you know, Vardy's age, despite, you know, form or whatever, there's no doubt that he'll give them a boost when he comes back.
Oh, yeah.
And he'll give the fans a boost when he comes back. So Rodgers was very keen, I thought, to give a Vardy update in that post-match. And we've had a super chat from Azzy, Sam, the Smiths, 1986. Thank you, Azzy, for the super chat. Your opinions on James Ward-Prowse going forward. Hashtag Team Lee, by the way, Azzy. Yes, hashtag Team Lee.
I want you to give an opinion, then.
Your opinion
on... Oh, no, I'm not giving one.
James...
It's going to be Team Lee. I refuse.
your opinions on James Ward-Prowse and, indeed, Southampton... In general, Sam, I'm keen to get your thoughts because, look, right at the top of the ticker there, Norwich at home next game week, which looks great, followed by Villa and Newcastle in the double, followed by Watford and Burnley and Leeds. It ain't getting much better than that for Southampton. And despite Broya blanking this game week, he's still a really nice option, I think, as is James Ward-Prowse. So tell us about how you're feeling about Southampton. Any Saints in your team right now outside
Livermento.
Of Tino? Yeah.
Livermento I've got. Can I say something controversial?
Go on.
I think I prefer Che Adams over Broya.
Do you? Interesting. Yeah. What makes you say that?
I don't know. The last couple of weeks... I mean, look, Broya's great because he's so cheap. He's a perfect cheap enabler. If you've got no budget, going Broya, ideal. Che Adams is finding a rhythm. And the underlying stats look decent. Obviously got the goal this weekend. And I think...
Adams.
Or did he get the assist?
Got an assist.
Got the assist.
Got an assist.
And I think for me, he seems to be the one that's just a bit more threatening. He seems to be, I don't know. I just think as differentials go, maybe a cheeky punt on Shadows might not be bad. I do really like the Ward-Prowse pick. I think he's, you know, set pieces, all of that good stuff. The issue I've got with Ward-Prowse is where you find him. He's in one of those precious midfield spots.
He's got to take up a midfield spot. Yeah, I have to say, I disagree with you. I think.
Well, Breuer, I knew you would because you and...
Yeah, but Che Adams, I think, has looked average at best this season, whereas Breuer in spurts has looked fantastic. I mean, how fickle we are as FPL managers to forget Breuer's performance last week, even. So, so good, Breuer. So,
no, I haven't forgotten it by any stretch of the imagination. I just think... If I was going to go with the Southampton player, Adams is probably the one I'd pick.
Would you?
Yeah, probably.
I'd be going Breuer all day long. But anyway, the answer to the question is, Saints looking pretty good. Yeah. And actually the fixtures look okay for the next few weeks. So if you've held on to Tino Livramento for this long, as we both have, he's now not a sell, in my opinion. He's now a hold.
Well, I guess the question is, because they've got that injury, haven't they?
Yes.
Will he hold his spots? We have to wait and see.
Yeah, okay. All right, let's go to... should we talk about our teams and then we'll do some Patreon questions? Let's do our teams. So here's my team for the week so far. And as I mentioned before, earlier on in the show, it's one of those where I know I'm in a bad spot versus the wildcarders because a lot of my single game week is those whose game week have finished. I needed more from Bowen and Dina and Ramsey and my City boys, and none of them came through for me. It was ones and twos all over the place. So the fact that the wildcarders and those that have got, you know, triple Arsenal, triple Liverpool, have got a lot of these, you know, got maybe 11 players still to play, and I've only got, what have I got, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. So I'm not in a terrible position, but I have only got 6 more players to go, whereas a lot of people have got a lot more than that. Not only do I need my players to come through, but I need a lot of blanks from people like Saka in the next game, and I need Robbo not to show up again for Liverpool and all the rest of it, right? But nevertheless, it's a green arrow. It's a very small green arrow right now on 62 minus 4. My transfers were... I'm trying
worked.
To think back.
They worked.
Well, it was Jimenez and Weghorst and Salah. Yeah, so those three worked out,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, because you got rid of Jota, Antonio and...
And Ronaldo, right?
All blanking or didn't play.
All blanking. So, yeah... As tends to happen, my transfers, I actually don't think my transfers have been too bad. I sit here a lot of Sundays and go, my transfers have actually worked out all right most weeks. But the rest of my team have let me down, no doubt about it. And even that Rafinha 5, the fact that he didn't start that game, what's going on there between him and Bielsa? The fact he hauled him at halftime last week, then he drops him to the bench this week. Is there something?
Well, I don't know. I mean, pre-game they asked him and he said, blah, 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 and then the translator went, basically said it was tactical.
Well,
we thought
we're
playing the team that we think is best to win this game. What does that
okay,
mean?
Interesting. But I was getting a bit of pelters on Twitter for benching 2 double game weekers in King and Reguilón.
Well, Reguilón's got COVID.
That might still come back to haunt me, no doubt about it. But I just didn't fancy either of them. I did fancy Dina over Reguilón, even though Dina had the single game week. And I fancied Jimenez and Weghorst and all of my midfielders, frankly, over King. And that still might come back to haunt me, particularly with Reguilón, right? But
no, he's got COVID. He's not going to play.
Well, listen, if he's not going to play, he's not going to play. What a terrible transfer in he's been for me over the last few weeks, despite looking really good. Whenever I've seen him play and watched him on TV, I've thought, yeah, great. Great he's in my FPL team, but never seems to bring home the points anyway. Really, it's a thank God for Weghorst week, really, because the triple captaincy and Weghorst have kept me afloat. No doubt about it, they've kept me afloat, because the rest of them have been absolute rubbish. In terms of transfers for next week, I'm thinking I'd like to get in on Spurs somehow, whether it's Son or whether it's Kane. And if
it's
I do,
harder to do Kane with your front, with your front line, because to get from King is very difficult.
Well, if I went for Kane, I'd have to do it for a hit. I would have to do a -4. And that would have to be King for Kane, and then I'd need to take some money out of somewhere else. Now, it's probably not going to be my back line. I don't think, even if I took Reguilón down to a real cheapie...
You'd have to go to Brandon Williams.
I'd have to
go all the
way,
that's enough.
I'd have to go all the way down, which is possible, right? Because I've still got Trent and Cancelo, and still got 3 there, so that's possible. Or I'd take some money out of Foden.
You've still got to take a lot of money out of Foden, haven't you? How much have you got in the bank?
Well, I've got sort of circa 3 million in the bank.
Right.
So I've got a little bit of money in the bank. But, you know, I'm not at all wed to Foden at the moment for all the reasons I mentioned before.
Yeah.
And if I do take Foden down, I'm then shopping in the kind of like Martinelli area. And
he's blanking.
Well, I know he's blanking, but coming back after the blanking to some nice fixtures and a nice double, it wouldn't be the worst transfer in the world. Although it would be transferring in a blank player.
You'd be giving yourself a zero bench, wouldn't you?
It would be a bit weird. I think I can go to someone like a Cornet as well, potentially on a double game.
Did he not go off?
He did. He went off with a bit of a knock, potentially. Yeah. So
see if he plays against Spurs.
I haven't massively thought it through, guys, to be honest with you, but...
You just know you want a beloved bit of Spurs in your
life. I do, absolutely. Based on what I saw today, I do, yeah. And based on what I'm seeing from Leeds, and if I see that sort of Leeds that played against Manchester United today, against Liverpool...
You're hoping.
Absolutely, I want Son or Kane or both against Leeds, because Leeds are all over the shop at the minute. So if I wanted to have Kane, it would have to be for a hit, and I'd lose Josh King, which would be absolutely fine, by the way. And I'd do Foden down to someone in the Martinelli kind of region. Or I have enough money in the bank just to do Foden to Son. No problem. And Josh King gets a stay of execution.
Why does Josh King keep getting stays of execution for all of us?
The thing with Josh King is now is that...
He's got another double coming up.
He's got another double coming up. And I don't want to keep him. I really don't. But you've got to watch them highlights.
You don't even play him during this double game.
I don't even play him.
So what's the point?
But Ismaïla Sarr's the point. Oh. Ismaïla Sarr's the point.
We'll get Ismaïla Sarr then.
That's possible. That's possible. I could do that. I could have Ismaïla Sarr for Foden, and then I could have Kane for King. That is possible. I've had a look at that. But Ismaïla Sarr makes King and Dennis much better. Much, much better. He is the key threat for them, Ismaïla Sarr, no doubt about it.
Well,
so
he couldn't have got much worse.
That is where I'm currently thinking, guys. If Reguilón and Trent both want to miss out again in midweek,
yes,
that's
please.
Fine, because I'd have my 12 points from Livramento off the bench in what would be the jammiest 12 points you'd ever see in your life. But a lot of the live chat, a lot of you guys are just saying, look, Lee, Foden to Son, easy. Do it. Free transfer.
I would do
done.
The Foden to
done.
I would do
no
that.
No problem.
The only, I think you maybe might overthink it because I've got Son.
Maybe. And as Baron Nishi is saying, yeah, Leeds high line will get massacred by Son. And probably Kane as well. But anyway, there's where I'm at. 62 points. I've got 6 still to go. I'm probably going to be on a red arrow come the end of the game week, possibly, depending on whether Weghorst can do something against Spurs. If Salah can bang a couple against Leeds, the triple captaincy will kick in and I'll do all right. So it's on those two players, really, with maybe Jimenez against Arsenal as well. Overall rank 153, would still like to be higher, of course, but never mind. We're still all right. 59 minus 4 for you this week with an overall rank smidging down to 101k. Talk us through your game week.
Lack of Weghorst. Is the real... I mean, I've got Dominic Calvert. Dominic Plymouth Calvert.
He needs to go, doesn't he? Got to go.
Yeah, I mean, see, that is the other option I've got, is that I could go Dominic Calvert-Lewin into their course next week and keep
King.
Josh King. but this is the problem. It's just constant. Actually, you know, the Son transfer was a good one. I'm really pleased I did that. I really don't want to have Rafinha in my team anymore either. He's another one that I'm quite happy to lose.
Oh, you know, you feel quite keen on getting rid of him, do you?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I feel like I instantly regretted putting him in as soon as I did a few weeks back.
Oh, okay.
And I don't really want him anymore, so I'm happy to lose him. But next week, obviously, I've got a full starting 11 there, so... It feels quite nice to go into that knowing that whatever transfer I do make is a bonus, and it's still going to probably give me some benching option as well. Because at the minute I'm benching Brandon Williams against Southampton. I think that's right. Yeah, Brandon Williams against Southampton. Obviously, I'll play Ramsey and hopefully Livramento. So Dominic Calvert-Lewin also on the chopping block, but God, Josh King. Look, Josh King has got...
He's going to be in our teams forever, only Josh King.
I mean, that
never
going to
go, is he?
It could happen. I think the reality with Josh King is that...
I actually don't think Watford are that bad now Sarr's back.
Stop it!
But I'd want Dennis. I don't like having King there. But if King was Dennis, I'd be fine. I'd be fine with that. Or if I had just made a Sarr in midfield, that would probably be okay as well.
Right. Josh King, if you're watching.
Up your game, mate.
Or Ben Foster, if you're watching, tell Josh King. He needs to score. If he can score this week, he gets to stay.
Right.
If he doesn't score this week, then maybe the time has come. I mean, Dominic Calvert-Lewin, I keep holding him because he's got his double game weeks coming up, but they're awful.
You've got to start.
They're also awful.
But
I think
you've got to think. You've got to have an eye on the horizon now, right? Game week 30. Right, that's one of the reasons I'm keeping hold of Rafinha. It's because and you guys can tell me if I'm wrong. I'm pretty sure he's got a game in 30. So again, I'm going to get to 30. I'm going to be fairly happy that I've got Rafinha in my team, I'd suggest. I wouldn't want to sell him ahead of that.
Rafinha's not going to go anywhere because I've got Calvert-Lewin and
Josh
King.
You said you're going to sell him.
No, he's one that I would like to sell, but I won't because I've got to deal with this front two idiots that keep blanking all the time.
You've got Josh King in your team. Sorry, Josh King.
Josh King's not the end of the world because he's cheap. I just keep wanting to sell him, but then he has to stay.
So many great sound bites from you tonight. It's brilliant.
But Dominic Calvert-Lewin, on the other hand, I keep watching him on Match of the Day and thinking, oh, you don't look too bad, you can stay again. And then,
can somebody clip that? Josh King's not the end of the world. Alongside, get Kulusevski because he's tall. You are like gold on this, honestly, brilliant. How come you're so good on Scout? You come out of all the stats when you and Az are on, bloody brilliant. You come in here with me and it's like, Kulusevski's tall, Josh King's not the end of the world. Can you do some prep for this, please? Like you do for Scout.
I don't prep for the Q&A.
Oh, you give me that. All over the stats, you and Az.
I do not prep for the Q&A. As and me. I just turn up and answer some questions. How can you prep for a Q&A? You don't know what's going to be asked. Dominic Calvert-Lewin, Josh King.
Yeah,
both of
problems.
Them are disliked.
Right.
One of them will be Weghorst.
Okay, yes.
By, when's the deadline? Friday? Saturday? By the deadline.
Yes.
One of them will be Weghorst. The other one will probably stay. I'm not...
not buzzing.
No.
You're not buzzing.
I don't mind keeping them. Right. They're just not inspiring, are they?
Not many forwards are this year.
I'll tell you who
is. To be honest with you. I know that Harry is, but you've got to find some
money
to do
that,
right?
I do like Jimenez, and I am... Even though I went Jimenez over Weghorst, I am still really pleased I went with Jimenez. I look at that and think that was still a good decision. The Wolves fixtures are nice. He looks good. I'm still happy with that decision. I didn't want to take a -8 for Weghorst. On reflection, I should have taken a -8 for Weghorst, but I'll just do it next week for free instead.
Right, okay. As Akshay is saying in the chat, thank you, Akshay, Rafinha is a double in 28, Norwich in 29, and
which is why I can't sell him.
30. No way you sell him.
Which is why I can't sell him. But do we even trust Bielsa anymore to play him?
Well,
we've got to find out
what
happens in midweek.
We've got to. So an overall rank of 101k, so a slightly red arrow.
Back outside the top 100
again. Not a problem. Mo's going to do the business for us, triple captain as
he gets
leads.
Do I need Sonny? If Sonny bangs, I'm laughing.
And everything will be fine.
The sun will shine.
The sun will shine. You meant that, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, all right, very good. Quick shout out for our Patreon, patreon.com/FPL family. If you're enjoying what we're doing here on the live stream on a Sunday night, you want a little bit more of FPL family in your life, go check out patreon.com/FPL family where you can support what Sam and I do here on FPL family, either the $3, the $5 or the $10 tier. And whichever tier you are at, you will get access to our Slack community where we mentioned
Susan
before.
Boyle.
You can go talk to Susan Boyle. Disclaimer, not the real Susan Boyle, over in our Slack community. If somebody's just tuned in and you say, sign up to our Patreon, you can speak to Susan Boyle.
So I will pretend.
I don't want people to sign up to our Patreon thinking they can talk to Susan Boyle about FPL, because that's worth $3 of anyone's money, isn't it?
Nobody thinks that actual Susan Boyle has got any valuable FPL insight to give.
I just don't want to. I can just imagine someone mailing me on Patreon saying, Lee, you said I could speak to Susan Boyle about, you know, how many times Josh King's not going to score this week.
Okay, disclaimer, everybody. For those of you that missed the beginning part of this live stream, speak to Susan
actually
Boyle in the
Susan
chat.
Boyle.
You'll find it is actually CyberDebt.
One thing that you do get if you join us over on patreon.com/FPL family, and of course all the links are in the description below, is access to
Susan
our
Boyle's
Slack
in here as well.
Community. There she is. That's Susan. She's right there. Sam, I'm going to ask you a few of the questions that our Slack community, our Patreon supporters, have been asking us in the hashtag stream queues.
There's a lot of emojis in there,
Tommy. There's a lot of emojis going on, yeah. A lot of emojis. It's just a lot of Susan Boyle chat, to be honest with you. So I'm going to try and skirt over that. Duncan Crawford says, hey, Duncan. He says, Spurs fixtures look good to the end of the season. Is one of Kane or Son good to budget for? I think we've answered that.
Answered
that, which is the answer to that, Duncan, is yes, mate. It is. Yes, it is.
Or both.
Aaron Chen. Hey, Aaron, he's saying, if we didn't wildcard this game week, Sam, is there a better time to use that wildcard? And I'm interested to hear your thoughts on this, because you've still got it, right? Is it worth holding on to that wildcard and your bench boost later down the track? Because those two chips tend to, I'm saying this is generalising a little bit, but they tend to go hand in hand because you can wildcard, set your team up for the bench boost the next week. Assuming we have another bigger double game week coming down the line, is it worth holding on to that wild card now?
We've got what? We've got 12... How many fixtures did we get rearranged the other day?
A lot.
Six.
A lot, to be fair. Yeah.
We've got six rearranged the other day, didn't we?
Yes. But haven't we got another double game week in the sort of 34, 35 area?
33, something like that.
Somewhere near there, yeah. So if you've got the wild card still and the bench boost...
I'm planning to hold mine.
It's, you can hold it for later on. There are some bigger game weeks coming on the horizon.
I am planning to hold mine for around that point. There's a fixture swing as well around that point. So the kind of... There's definitely a strategy that says you dead end into 30.
Yeah.
And play and try and play through or free hit in 30 and then wild card straight after. There is a strategy around that. So you can kind of dead end your team, get through the next few doubles, make sure you've got as many players for that as possible, free hit through 30 so that you have a full 11.
Sure.
And then somewhere between 30 finishing and 33... Play your wild card so you can bench boost through that last double.
Okay, all right. Danny followed that up with another question. Burnley have conceded only 2 goals in their last 5 games. It's gone under the radar a little bit, right? All this talk of Weghorst. Actually, defensively, it feels like Dyche has found the classic Burnley formula again, as Danny suggests. So is Pope captain next week something to consider? Is that a bit too out there?
I mean,
Pope
it feels captain? A bit mental, doesn't it? But
does feel a bit mental.
Because, okay, right, here's my honest thoughts on captaining a defender. Or a goalkeeper.
Yeah.
I wouldn't do it. Not Pope. He's not Trent, is it?
No.
There's a difference between captaining Trent and captaining Nick Pope just because he's got a double game week. I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
That he's got 2 fixtures and actually they have been more solid defensively. I get all of that. But in the same week that he's got that, like Son and Kane are playing Leeds, they could easily get more than 12.
City have got Everton, right?
So I think that there are, if you've got KDB, he's a perfect captain option. If you've got Weghorst, he's a great captain option. If you've got KDB, great captain option. Son, Kane, great captain options. I don't think you need to captain Nick Pope. If you've got Nick Pope, he's a bit of a differential, to be honest. That's enough.
Sure. All right. Just a quick comment on this image that was put in the Slack, which is, I think aimed at me, because I've been... And shout out to London County Colts again. Another win on the board today.
Yeah, go on, you Reds.
10-6. Come on, you Reds. And I've taken to refereeing some of the home games, haven't I?
You didn't ref today.
It's an away game, so I didn't ref, but it's a home game. And thank you, Duncan, for the image in the Slack. Please remember, they're kids. This is a game. The coaches are volunteers. The referee is a human, and this is not the World Cup. A shout out to all of the parents of anyone whose kids in the UK play grassroots football, because those rules absolutely do apply, particularly number 4 when I'm refereeing.
Do you know, it's really hard, actually, as a parent, to stand on the touchline and watch your child play football
and not get involved.
So Max is a goalie, and it's a horrible place to play, because if you make a mistake... You think it's the end, particularly when you're 8, you think it's your fault, the end of the world. So you do want to kind of, you want to kind of shout and support. It's really difficult. But shout out to everybody involved in grassroots football. It is blooming fun.
Absolutely. Yes, absolutely. We love it. James Matthews. Hey, James, one of our newer patrons, says, evening, Sam and Lee. Hello, mate. I have 9 players available to play in game week 27.
Mm-hmm.
Is it worth using... So he's obviously got a lot of Chelsea, Arsenal, Liverpool, etc. Is it worth using the free hit then, or just take a hit, take a -4?
Well... Okay.
The only big guns I would have playing are Cancelo, Bowen and Son in my current team. So in Son, I think you have a viable captain choice, by the way. But 9 players, is that worth the free hit next week? Or just take a hit to get to the 11? What are we saying?
Well, the thing is, it's really going to depend on if the players you're going to hit out or players you want back again, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So... If you've got a team that's got presumably 3 Liverpool in it.
Yeah.
And I would have thought...
Some Arsenal. Bear in mind that those players will come back in after the free hit. And you want that, right? Because there's some nice fixtures coming up for those teams. It's doable. It's 100% doable. The one thing I would say is that it depends...
If it's the only free hit you've got, though, I wouldn't waste it.
I was going to say, if you only got 1 free hit left, it's maybe worth a -4. Because there are some tricky game weeks on the horizon to navigate.
And particularly if you've only just bought it. So if you've got... Robbo and you've only just got him,
yeah,
you could afford to lose him and get him back if you wanted to without any price problems.
You could.
Same okay. with the Arsenal midfielder.
All right. A question from Susan Boyle. I don't know if you know she was in the...
Oh, wow. She's got such a good singing voice.
Susan's saying, I've dreamed a dream. It included a midfield of Sancho and Mahrez. Would you hit the dislike or the golden buzzer on that? Sancho and Mahrez. That's a bit out there, isn't it? Particularly as they play each other in a couple of weeks.
Susan Boyle got a bit...
Susan, I'm not sure we're hitting the golden buzzer for that, my love. We're not hitting the golden buzzer for that.
No.
We've got another question from Gaz Slinger. Thank you, Gaz, for the question. Wout Weghorst.
Yeah.
Have I said his name correctly? Wout Weghorst? I've said that correctly.
No, it's
I?
No V.
It's no V. Is it Wout?
It's Wout. Yeah, Wout.
Is it?
Wout.
That's how you say
it. Wout, it is. It's V. Wout.
That's literally Weghorst. What I just said.
Wout Weghorst.
I just said Wout Weghorst and you said, that's no, right. There's no V.
Wout Weghorst. Right. Wout.
Excellent. So I was right. Surely
that's why it doesn't go with the wagon.
Is a must go. Is
it's a veg car.
Right, you're putting me off. Surely is the must go to striker. That's because that Gaz has typed it wrong. Is the go to striker to replace Antonio, or would you go for Jimenez? So here we go. So he's got Antonio. Wants rid of him. Fair play. Understand that. Weghorst or Jimenez? Where would you go?
427. You go Weghorst.
Okay.
Because he's got a double and Jimenez doesn't. But after 27, you could swap Weghorst for Jimenez to target his doubles.
Okay, all right. And last question I'll take from Helen. Thank you, Helen Bettersworth, for the question. She's got, and I've got this, by the way, serious FOMO with free hit 27. And for those of you that have already played your free hit a few weeks ago, and maybe you're keeping your last remaining free hit in your back pocket, you're going to get a lot of FOMO this week. There's going to be a lot on Twitter about, I've got this free hit, I've got that free hit, I've got Son and Kane and Kulusevski, I've got this player, I've got three Burnley, I've got this, I've got that. You're going to get a lot of that. So Helen's got a lot of FOMO, but surely if you've only got the one free hit left, it's better to wait for 30 when we're expecting a very sparse looking game week in 30, aren't we?
Yes.
Is that when you're holding it?
Yes. I don't have the FOMO.
You don't?
I've got 11 players.
Okay.
I think if you've got 11 players to play in a blank game week,
That's okay.
Don't be disappointed in that, Helen.
That's okay.
Just take the boys you've got. Trust them.
There we go, Helen. No need to have the FOMO. I'm definitely going to have it. No doubt about it.
You're going to have a Spurs player in anyway. What have you got to be scared of?
I'm probably going to have a Spurs player. That's probably the way I'm going to go. I just don't know which one I'm going to have.
You're probably going to have two.
I'm not going to have both. I can't afford both.
You've got Reguilón.
That's true. I have got Reguilón. Yeah. What's the deal with Reguilón? Is he...
He's got COVID!
Right. So is he straight back in, or is Sessegnon going to play, or what's going to happen?
No, we're playing when he's back. But he's got COVID. You can't play someone with COVID.
Of course you can't, but I'm a bit...
Laws are changing in the UK tomorrow.
That's true. Something to look out for, potentially.
Boris is making... No, he is. They've said it already.
That is going to happen.
Tomorrow in the Commons, he's announcing the end of legal... of everything.
So isolation periods, test positive, you isolate for 5 days.
You don't have to legally isolate if you touch positive. I think morally you should, is what he's going to say. But legally,
let's not get into the morality of it on here, Sam. But yeah, but
no, but I think that's what he's going to say. Morally, do as you can. But legally, you will not have to self-isolate if you test positive for COVID.
All right, well, there we go. Look out for all those COVID changes coming over the next couple of days. And of course, we've still got a number of games still to go in this game week. So good luck to anybody that's still got, I don't know, 10 or 11 players to go. If you've dropped your wild card this game week and you're planning your free hit next week, that's the enviable position that Helen and I are both suggesting we've got a bit of FOMO after. You've got a really nice team now. You've set it up for the coming weeks. You're going to use your free hit in 27. I love it. Fair play. Have fun putting together that free hit in 27. What are we doing this week, Sam, in terms of official shows and podcasts and all that sort of stuff?
I know.
You know. Wow. Go for it. Hit us.
I'm podding this week.
You're podding this week. Excellent. Any FPL show going on?
No.
Not this week?
No. I am doing the show. I've got two back-to-back shows coming up.
Have you?
One with you.
Right.
And one with somebody I've never met in person before.
Really?
Yeah. I'm going to go and meet FPL Salah in a few weeks.
Oh,
time.
Legend. Okay, cool.
Which I'm looking forward to.
Very good.
So I don't think it, but it's not this week. It's... Hang on.
Okay. This is riveting for the viewer, by the way.
The 10th and the 17th of March, so the week after.
Excellent. All right.
So yeah, pod in this week.
Excellent. I must admit, I enjoyed... The podcast is going from strength to strength, honestly. This week, when I was on with Dean Ashton, it was quality. And even the bit... So before we recorded the podcast, we were just saying hello to each other and everything. And he said, oh, I've been following you for a while. I'm a big FPL player. I was like, you're Dean Ashton. How do you follow my little channel that I do? It's ridiculous. So anyway, loved all that. Loved the podcast. It's great. So get over and listen to that.
I want him to get Ben Foster on. That'll be the dream.
Ben Foster's happening, isn't it? He's gonna be on at some stage.
I want to be on a podcast with Ben Foster.
Got to happen, isn't it? Make it happen, FPL. Come on, make it happen. So there we go. You're podding this week. And we will, of course, as usual, be back this time next Sunday at 8:30.
At the request of the Slackers.
Yes.
There will also be a free hit video from me, probably on Tuesday this week. I'll record it tomorrow and probably set it to go live on Tuesday.
Very good. All right. Well, there we go, guys. So thank you for joining us tonight. That will give me some FOMO. As we said at the beginning of the show, leave us a like before you go. And a number of you do not hit that subscribe button. It's very unusual, guys. Very unusual. You tune in, you listen, and we love you for it. But love you don't hit that subscribe button. Probably because you know when we're going to be on. But if you wouldn't mind just hitting that subscribe button, get the subscribership up. Helps us get out to a whole host of new people and new audiences and get loads of new people into the FPL family community. So until this time, 8:30 next Sunday, have a good game week. Green arrows.
You'll either be happy or very sad.
Why?
Oh, what is wrong with you? I thought this cup meant everything to you, but you can't apparently remember that you're playing in it.
I hopefully will be in a good mood having won the Carabao Cup, yes.
Oh, man alive.
I keep forgetting about it. Too much FPL going on. Thank you, guys. See you next week. Cheers.